So cute, so awesome to see our kids, whatever you brought today. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. At the time of the Roman Emperor Augustus, decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from a village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Father, we bow our heads in prayer and we thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, God, in the next few moments that we have, you speak to our hearts, to our inner man, to the most deepest part of our soul, Lord, by your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You see, in the moment in history, what we call Christmas today, Jesus went from the eternal God of the cosmos to the God that we could see, touch, and behold. Today we celebrate this day as Christmas, when the invisible became visible, the intangible appeared, the omnipotent in one instant became breakable. He who was spirit became personable. At this moment, we were given the ability to behold the image of God. He had come. Emmanuel, God with us. The theological term we use in Christendom today is called the incarnation. It's when God became flesh. And this is such a central and powerful part of the doctrines and beliefs of the church today. And today, as we look at these few passages in the next few moments that we have, I would like to derive a few lessons for us today from the Christmas story. So if you're taking notes, number one, we should expect the unexpected. Christmas shows us we should expect the unexpected. The Bible says all of a sudden there was a census that took place. All of a sudden there was a decree that was made. That means prior to this moment, this had not taken place by the Roman Empire. And all of a sudden in this moment, it took place. It was the first of its kind. Unexpected. Unexpected. That's only the first thing that was unexpected. We see that God chose to come to the earth as a child to a poor, get this, unmarried virgin. Unexpected. Talk about unexpected. Wow. For Mary and Joseph, this was an unexpected pregnancy. Matthew 1:18, it says this: this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now go with me here for a moment. Imagine Mary going to Joseph, her fiancé, and letting him know this little piece of information. Joey, I think I'm with child. Unexpected. Unexpected. If you think that the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus Christ and him coming to this world was perfect, it was anything but perfect. Friends, I love kids' Christmas when we have kids up on stage. Why? Because there's always some kind of imperfection. And I love that about it. Why? Because it's real. And you know what the Christmas story shows us? That his birth was real. His birth was raw. I mean, there was lots of unexpected moments that took place. I mean, I could just imagine Mary, she was probably just thinking, I'm going to be in control of this one. All right, I couldn't control that. God came on me with the Holy Spirit. All these things happen, and I'm pregnant now with child. And now Joseph is wanting to put me away, but now he's in agreement because there's an angel that appeared to him. And now she's thinking, all right, at least I can lean on my family, my kindred. At least I can lean on my comfort zone. And guess what happens? The unexpected. Mary, you got to go to Joseph's homeland. You got to travel on a donkey while being pregnant. Who's ever traveled with a pregnant lady? That's like 8 months pregnant plus. Anybody? My wife's been pregnant a few times. Ladies in the house, they've been pregnant. You know what I'm talking about. It's not a comfortable thing to be moving, especially on a donkey of all animals. I mean, now we have Toyotas and Lexuses. Then they had a donkey, all right? They were traveling to a place pregnant with child. I mean, this is the most unexpected version of God coming to earth. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been hit with the unexpected? Have you ever been hit with unexpected bills? Come on, somebody, if we're honest, right? Have you ever been hit with unexpected circumstances? Divorce papers, news from the doctor, loss, things that we go through, the unexpected. Listen, friends, these things may have been unexpected to you and I, but they were never unexpected to God. God saw exactly what would take place, when it would take place, and what circumstance it would take place under, and He is still on the throne even during our unexpected circumstances. That's a good place to say an amen right there. Friends, things that catch us blindside, things that catch us off guard, they never blindside God. If there's anything we can learn from the Christmas story, is that God is the God of the unexpected. Through challenges, through hardships, through things that we can't deal with on our own, it's never unexpected to God. A woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom said this: never be afraid to trust the unknown future to a known God. The unexpected future to a known God. Friends, I think if there's anything we can take with us through the month of Christmas this year, it's that God is working in the unexpected. God is working in the unexpected. This was a birth that happened prophetically. There was angels involved and shepherds, and everything was aligning in the chapters of history, and God was working through the unexpected and unknown circumstances. Number two, just 2 points today, and we're gonna finish up. So we are called, or we should expect the unexpected, and the second is we are called to endure the uncomfortable. We are called to endure the uncomfortable. Now, we don't like uncomfortable situations as people. We don't like uncomfortable situations as believers. And verse 6 here of Luke chapter 2 says this: and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. Oh no. I'm sure Mary was traveling to this land of Bethlehem, and she was thinking, Lord, only not there. God, I hope it doesn't happen there. And here it happens, the uncomfortable, where she gives birth in a place far away from home. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. God, don't you think that is just proper? If you send your son Emmanuel that's going to save the nations and save the world, it's only proper to get him a Hilton 5-star hotel. I mean, we're not asking for much. I mean, maybe some slippers and a robe for Mary. Like something nice, like a. How about a water birth? How about a hot tub? Come on, 94 degrees Celsius, you know, or Fahrenheit. Just Celsius, you'll burn up. Fahrenheit, my God. Fahrenheit. I mean, get her a warm pool. Come on, get her some candles. Get her some worship music playing on Alexa. I mean, it's God, that's the minimum we could ask for. That's us 21st century believers right there. God, that's the minimal you could ask for. I'm giving my life to you. I'm dedicating my life to you. God, how dare I be in an uncomfortable situation? Surely this uncomfortable situation is not from God. Doesn't that sound like us sometimes? Doesn't that sound, God, if this is not comfortable, it's rubbing me the wrong way, so this is not from you. But I want to challenge us today to see the story in a different light. God allowed Mary and Joseph to be pulled beyond their comfort zone into a place where they had to give birth in a stable. Now, nobody wants to give birth in a stable. We have a little guy right now, and I know little guys and diapers, and he goes through probably 20 diapers a day. And my goodness, it's a mess. And I could only imagine trying to handle a baby in a stable with strips of cloth. And hey, by all means, it was a mess in there, all right? Jesus was a normal baby boy. I mean, I could see, you know, when we change Silas sometimes, if you don't cover him in time with the diaper, you might get sprinkled. Some of you will get that on the way out. And I'm sure Jesus, baby Jesus, the Son of God, same circumstances were going on. You have a mule here. You have a cow moo in here. And you have baby Jesus in a manger laying there wrapped in strips of cloth. And I just want to go here with us and understand that God allowed them to endure the uncomfortable for a reason. You see, God, in a strange way, seems to value discomfort. Now, we don't like it as people. We want the best mattress, the expensive mattress, the Tempur-Pedic, you know, the adjustable bed frame. We want the nicest pair of shoes. We want everything to fit our comfort. And by all means, we can live that way when we could afford. Absolutely, not a problem with that. But I want to show us something here that God values discomfort. It's actually through the discomfort, through our place of reliance on Him and maybe not being the most comfortable with where our life is at, God can actually work. I want to ask you this question. What's the most uncomfortable part of your life right now? Think about it. You don't have to say it out loud. Don't tell your neighbor. Keep it to yourself. But just think about it. Maybe that most discomforting part of your life that you're trying to reject is actually something you need to endure. Is actually something you need to trust God in and carry through, because God will often take you out of your comfort zone, just like He took Mary and Joseph out of their comfort zone to teach him something, to teach him that He's Jehovah Jireh, to teach him that through poverty and through a manger and through a discomforting circumstance or situation, He can be God. And He can lead them through. There was nothing of themselves that they could have leaned on in this moment. They were far away from home. They were far away from their known places. They were far away from everything that they could lean on. God was pulling them out for a reason. Friends, and mind you, they were carrying the Son of God. They were entrusted one of the highest honors anyone could be entrusted to. And God allowed discomfort into their life. Friends, I want to challenge us with this thought today. Did you know that God is shaping you and molding you when you go through discomfort? God, He's the potter, we're the clay. God is shaping us into everything He desires us to be, not what we desire to be, everything He desires us to be. And sometimes that takes to get us out of what we lean on, what we're comfortable with. Well, God, I'm okay right here. I'm going to serve You as long as I sit on my lazy boy and watch Channel 6. God, I'm good right here. He said, no, I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to cut the cable to your satellite TV, and I want to get you in my word, and I'm going to get you deeper. I'm going to get you into a circumstance where you can't lean on yourself anymore. It's not a soft, lazy boy circumstance anymore. It's a place where you're going to say, God, this is the unknown to me. God, I don't know what to do next. God, I really need Your voice in my life, and maybe, just maybe, that is the walk of faith, where it actually is going to take faith and a deeper level of trusting God to follow Him. And maybe, just maybe, by this, God is forming in us the image of His Son. Through our discomfort, through our inabilities, in our marriages, in our ministries, in our workspaces, in our life, friend, your discomfort is directly tied to your destiny. The very thing that is bothering you now is shaping you to who you're becoming. What God is doing in your discomfort is often a mystery. It doesn't make sense in the moment. God, why would you allow? Why would you allow this in my marriage? Why would you allow this in my family with my children, wayward child? God, why would you allow this with this addiction? Why do I keep struggling with this thing and can't shake it off? God, why? Well, maybe, just maybe, he's getting your attention. He's getting your mind and your heart after him. And maybe, just maybe, through that suffering of loss and other things, instead of letting that be the end of you, when you lean on him, that becomes the beginning of everything God has for your destiny and purpose. That actually marks you in a way. It marks you in a way to where your test becomes a testimony. Your loss becomes a victory. Come on. Everything you've been through actually becomes something that God builds on and God develops in your life and brings to the next level. Jesus had to endure obscurity and discomfort to attain the name that was higher than any other name. Jesus couldn't have become the resurrected king if he did not make himself the uncomfortable king on the cross. He became the nameless and the faceless. He became the unknown and the uncomfortable. He endured it all. And he didn't do it for the sake of trial of suffering. No, no, no. He endured it for the sake of those he came to save. I want us to stand to our feet. We celebrate Christmas because the Messiah came. We celebrate Christmas because the Christ child was born. And I want to close with a story, and we're just going to have a moment of prayer, and prayer teams will be up here at the end as well, and we'll get instruction at the end by Pastor Jared. But I want to tell us a story of how pearls are made. You know how a pearl is made? A pearl is made when there's a piece of sand that gets in between the membrane and the shell of a seashell, of an oyster. And this piece of sand becomes an irritant to the oyster. And it starts irritating this oyster. It starts irritating and prodding it and poking it and messing with it. And the oyster, what it does as an automatic reaction, it will release these juices, these fluids that will go to soothe its pain of the irritation. And what it does is, as these juices, these flow, this liquid flows to that piece of sand, it starts covering it. It starts covering it. And over time, it starts developing a pearl inside the oyster. So go with me here for a second. The thing that is irritating the oyster actually becomes the valuable part of the oyster. Now, friends, I'm persuaded if oysters that make pearls did not make pearls, we wouldn't really care for those oysters. Instead, you know, use them for fish bait or something. No, but because they have something valuable on the inside of them, mind you, that is developed by irritation, we find value in pearls. We find value in oysters. So I want to take this back to ourselves. What if your suffering that you're going through today, what if that irritation process that you're going through today, that piece of sand or that goat head in the bottom of your shoe, just always bothering you everywhere you go, what if that's the thing God is using to develop a pearl in your life? He's developing the image of a son. He's developing something beautiful. And what if what 1 Peter chapter 4 says about being partakers in the suffering of Christ is actually enduring the pain, enduring the trials, enduring the loss, enduring the irritations, enduring people getting under your skin and thinking the problem's with everybody but not with me, but instead you turn to God and say, God, help me. You start releasing something that comes over that irritation and turns it into the most valuable part of your life. Friends, some of us are in this room right now, and the thing that you're struggling with, this irritation within you, is because you have an empty void in your heart. And this empty void, you've tried to fill with all sorts of things. Maybe it was substance abuse or friendships that weren't good for you and other things that you've put into your heart and you find yourself empty. Friend, I want to let you know that there was a baby that was born 2,000 years ago. lived a sinless life, died on the cross, on the third day rose from the grave. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you would allow him to come into your heart by his Spirit today, he would fill that void and that irritation. He would do something so special to you. Some of you, you're familiar with church. You've been around church. Your parents took you to church, grandparents. But today is your day. God's saying, I don't want you to walk out your grandmother's faith. I want you to have your own faith. And you need to have a moment of surrender to God. So with every head bowed and eye closed, just where you are in simplicity, I want to pray for us today, and then I'm going to dismiss us. Father, Lord, I pray for every person here right now. God, I pray that you speak clearly to our hearts. You see heads bowed and eye closed all across the room. I'm going to stop praying for a moment. I just want to ask you, keep your heads bowed. If you're here today and you feel that emptiness, that void in your heart, that discontent, that discomfort, something's going on in your heart, God's calling you and you want to surrender to God. The Bible says it's simple. You just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So just where you are right now, if that's you, just as a sign of surrender, you can just slip your hand up so I can pray for you just where you are. Just say, that's me. I hear your voice, Lord. I see that hand back there. I see that hand back there. Anyone else? I hear your voice, Lord. I'm surrendering to you right now. I want to lead you in a prayer. If you rose your hand, anyone else can join as well. Prayer of surrender. It's very simple. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I receive you into my heart. Fill the void. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a child of God. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for hearing my prayer. I pray this in Jesus' name.